In the beginning, there was the creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. We want to announce to everybody that Kevin, our normal host, is not here. He's too busy in a peanut butter and jelly eating sandwich competition. I think he's on his fourth loaf of bread, going for five. Kevin, we're all pulling for you here. But in the house, I have the amazing Daniel Brin.
Hello.
I have the gigantic Doug Hackner. Hackner, I always script your last name.
Hainer.
Hainer. I'm getting close. And for some reason, his son never wanted to come back on, so he's out. And I'm your host, Simon. Welcome, everyone.
You scared him off.
And we're on episode 239, before I forget.
He either scared him off, or he's eating the peanut butter sandwiches with
Kevin. Maybe you're right. Maybe he joined. Like, how's he doing on that, Doug?
I'll be honest, he's actually off on a secret mission somewhere in South America, so I can't really talk about it right now.
Did his brother go this time?
No, he is home. He's the one taking care of the dogs.
Oh, okay. How many dogs do you have, Doug?
Two dogs.
Names, please?
Jake, named after Jake LaMotta from Raging Bull.
I knew it.
And I guess real life, too. I mean, he was a real person before a movie. And Dexter the pug, because I thought he looked like a Dexter.
Fair enough.
Serial killer? TV sex.
I guess before we go any further, we have to say congratulations to Daniel.
Don't bow your head.
Well, I'm bowing because you won.
Oh, thank you. Yes, for the Oscar pool.
And a future date, we'll have to watch some bad film he likes. Yay me.
It's not a bad film. It's gonna be good. Should I just tell you it now?
If you're prepared to.
Yes, it's the Joseph Kahn's Bodied.
There you go, Joe.
Battle rap movie that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with.
I've heard about it, actually. I have heard about it. I heard good reviews about it, too.
Yeah.
Doug, have you seen the film?
I have not.
So it's all new to all of us. That's great. So
yeah, I think I'll take it.
We have a few extra seconds. Anybody got anything else they want to add TV-wise or anything? I want to say I finally finished Punisher Season 2 today. Only took me a year, so that's a positive for me.
Nice. Yeah, I'm catching up on the Harley Quinn show.
I'm two behind.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've seen four episodes. It's pretty good.
I'm all caught up on that one. They're up to episode 12.
I've seen the first 10.
That's the penultimate episode of the season, so next week will be the season finale of Harley.
Oh, so maybe I'll just wait the week then, because Dr. Psycho can't get any better. Because everybody needs to know why Dr. Psycho got kicked out of the Legion of Doom. The best joke in that series is that one right there.
And then that scene when he's about to say it, and he's like, oh, I see what you mean.
Yes. Love Dr. Psycho. So, I guess we can discuss the return of two people. And to rephrase what I said on Hot Takes, and Hot Takes is available on themoviebuff.com, I think. Or .net. I don't know, just look for it. .net. You can hear my new show, The Hot Takes, where I discuss the only reason why Bad Boys for Life was made, because Martin Lawrence needed the cash.
Also starring Will Smith, Paola Nunez, Vanessa Hudgens, Alexander Ludwig, Charles Melton, Kate Del Castillo, Jacob Scipio, and Joe Pantoliano. I can't say his name.
So let's start at the beginning. Vanessa Hudgens, really? She's got nothing to do. She looks nice, can't really act and breathe at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're adding the next generation of bad boys, and I think she can definitely expand her role in the next film should they decide to make one.
Oh, they're making one. It's already greenlit.
Nice. I went into this movie with incredibly low expectations.
Couldn't be lower than mine.
I came out actually enjoying this film. I think it's the best of the franchise so far.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it took getting rid of Michael Bay as director. Because he's the MC in the movie, makes a cameo in the movie. He's a producer, I think, as well. But this one isn't really the D, like the drug cartel villain. It's actually something better. And I like the first two films. I like the first film for the action, and I like the second film for the comedy, because it's just too much Michael Bay. But this one is the one that actually feels like, okay, this isn't a guilty pleasure. This is actually a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, who actually went into Bad Boys 3 expecting a deep meditation on growing old and not fitting in anymore? I never expected that, but it worked.
But
it
isn't worked that every Lethal Weapon movie with Danny Glover?
Yeah, but it worked here better for me than it did in Lethal Weapon, because in Lethal Weapon, that was like his catchphrase throughout the entire series, that he's getting too old for this. But here, you got to see Will Smith in his prime in the first two movies, and now he's older. He is older, he is dying his goatee, and it worked for me. Seeing that character go from young and in his prime to the old man on the team and having to accept younger, stronger, different methods coming in, it worked for me. It really did.
I'm fine with that. I think it worked for me. I gave it a positive score, shockingly. I liked it. I just think Martin Lawrence needs to lose about 30 pounds and it would have worked better.
Well, now he looks like he can play Big Mama without the fats.
Yeah, pretty much. I felt bad for him. I'm watching him run down the street. I'm like, oh boy, he's going to be a little tired after that run.
Yeah, but I feel like with the weight thing, I feel like it makes the character feel more realistic that he wants to retire.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like in every movie, he's always like, oh, I kind of want to get out of this thing with Mike. Because he's just so reckless. And, like, in the second one, when he doesn't want it to be his partner anymore. But this is the first one where it's not annoying. It actually feels realistic for the story.
I do have one side note. Do you know this was originally offered to Dana Carvey and John Lovitz?
Jeez.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah, that came out. This is what I read. It was originally offered to John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
I can't imagine it.
Train wreck that would have been.
Wait, the original, the Michael Bay original?
Yes. That's what it was offered to, and they said no.
Oh, thank God that they said no. Jeez, Lord.
Oh, God. Now, how many times has Martin Lawrence said Mike Lowry in these movies?
Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry, you shot me in the butt.
I mean, I think they're okay. They just, I don't care that it's a fourth. Doug's very happy. That's fine. I will watch it, but I watch anything.
I'll happily watch the fourth. But, like, my question is, because, yeah, the youth here, it didn't work for me that much. I like Vanessa Hudgens. Alexander Ludwig's okay. I don't have an opinion about Charles Melton yet. But I feel like they're making it, like, 21 Jump Street Bad Boys.
Fine.
Now, like, if they're just supporting in the next one, that's fine, but I'm not interested in a spin-off.
There's no way they're supporting in the next one.
See, you got 21 Jump Street. I was getting a Fast and Furious vibe from this.
I think I'm more with Doug. I can see that.
Where they're adding more to the family.
Family.
Literally, in this case.
And we're getting another Fast and Furious film this year, Doug. Can't wait.
Which you have not seen the trailer for, I'm sure.
Is there a trailer?
Yeah.
Oh.
They had a whole concert for it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I like the youth. The youth were fine. I don't know. I didn't really care for them that much, but maybe. I'm curious to see what they do next time.
Fair enough. Are we moving along, boys?
I also just want to point out real quick that this is the second time in a Michael Bay franchise that he leaves the director's chair and we get the best film in the series.
Yeah, Bumblebee was good.
Bumblebee was
excellent. I like Bumblebee.
And this was the best movie in the Bad Boys franchise.
So Michael Bay is a problem.
Well,
we all know that.
I'm moving along. So
when are we getting Pearl Harbor 2?
Oh, God, please never.
I know.
Never.
Well, speaking of war films, 1917.
Oh, take my segue from me. Thank you, Mr. Brick.
Pew, pew, pew. George Mackay, which I didn't know was pronounced that way until the Oscars. And also with Dean Charles Chapman. And there's a bunch of random appearances by British actors, but I only spoil Colin Firth because he was in the trailer.
Fair enough. I think I probably hated this film more than both of you combined.
Sure.
I thought this film, other than the one big plane scene, bored the crap out of me. I thought it was wonderful to look at. Do not get me wrong. Except for Portrait of a Lady on Fire, this is my second favorite film to watch for cinematography. I thought all the army scenes looked beautiful. I thought the trenches looked perfect. Uniforms look good. I like the way they shot it with the multiple cameras, and the stitching on the editing was beautiful. Absolutely phenomenally done. But I didn't have enough action for me, and I wanted more action. I wanted these guys to actually fight. I did think they gave us a couple nice twists that really didn't do anything for me, but it was okay with me. And I really got bored because every time we meet somebody new, hey, look, another random British actor that you know. And that really took me out of the film.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It definitely, it felt like a Christopher Nolan movie to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It felt, the characters themselves felt cold to me. I didn't really get any warmth from them. But I will say I did enjoy the spectacle of the film. I thought the conceit of the one shot was good, and it definitely lent itself to scenes of tension when they're going through the bunker underneath and it's dark and it's lit by the flashlights. I mean, it was definitely a masterclass in visuals and at times incredibly tense.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. I didn't do it for me. I don't know why I wanted it to.
Yeah, like Roger Deakins is a master. Like the shot of him jumping in the water and the light illuminating like the town, that is amazing. I like it. I like it fine. I think you give it like a 7. I know you give it like a 3, Simon.
I gave it a 3.
Yeah. But see, like, it's a marvel. It's a technical marvel. There's like 6 or 7 great sequences that make this worth the watch. But I didn't really feel anything for the characters until like 30 minutes left.
I'm glad you got something.
Sorry?
I'm glad you felt something. I couldn't. I was so bored.
And I'm always looking for what makes the movies work for me are the characters for the most part. And
isn't most films are character driven? Like you want to like your characters in some or hate them or find some fault and something needs to happen to them.
I mean, I feel like people look for different things. Some people might want to focus on the writing or the characters or the cast. I don't know. But just for here, like, that's what was missing for me, the characters. Like, there's good action, but it was, boring spots. I don't know.
Okay. That's going to be a quick episode. I like it. Moving along about writing, Little Women, that should have won Best Screenplay over Parasite, but I'm okay with Parasite winning.
No, it was in the category for Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, I know. Which we know how much I love Jojo Rabbit.
Who wants to start on this one?
You do. Who's in it, Dan?
I'm bad. So it's directed by Greta Gerwig. It's starring Saoirse Ronan, Florence Pugh, Emma Watson, Elisa Scanlon, Timothy Chalamet, Laura Dern, Chris Cooper, Bob Odenkirk, and Tracy Letts.
Let Doug go.
I will be honest. I loved this film. I loved everything about it. I think Greta Gerwig should have won adapted screenplay for this film, the way she took a well-loved novel and kind of transformed it into something that can actually have surprises in it. I also think Greta Gerwig should have been nominated for Best Director. What she did with splitting up the story between the two timelines and the visual cues in the film that separated the timelines, I just thought it was absolutely masterful. All that technical stuff aside, I think the acting in this film was spectacular. I think Saoirse Ronan, Florence Pugh, and Timothy Chalamet, I think all three of them were incredible. And it's a shame that Timothy Chalamet wasn't recognized for his performance, but I think pretty much anybody in this cast could have been recognized because they were all excellent.
Hold on. I want to agree with you. I love the film. I love everything you've said. I want to go to two people in Little Women. You're saying that could be recognized. Emma Watson being one, and the blonde, who I can't remember her name.
Lisa Scanlon.
Really? You would nominate those over Saoirse Ronan and Florence Pugh?
No. I'm not saying I would nominate them over. I'm saying that for the characters that they had, I thought they were excellent in their roles.
I agree with you. But I don't think they deserved a nomination.
No, I'm not going that far.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that anybody could have been recognized in this film. When I say that, I guess I mean Laura Dern. I actually kind of liked her better in this than in Marriage Story.
Wow.
I would have loved to have seen Laura Dern run for this instead of Marriage Story.
I disagree.
I would have liked to have seen Timothy Chalamet get recognized for this film.
I would have been fine with that.
I do think Emma Watson was very good. I don't think she was Oscar worthy, but I think with the role that she had, I think she brought life to it. I think she wasn't just playing Hermione. She was playing somebody who had her own problem. She spends money that they don't have, and I think she brought real humanity to that character.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think she's perfect for the role. Honestly, this – I'm familiar with the novel, but I didn't really know much about it. And this is the first adaptation I've seen of this. And somehow it became my favorite movie of last year, and I was very surprised by that because I expected it to be good, but I didn't expect it to be, like, as good as it is. Like, for me, everything about this is perfect. Like, the acting, the characters, the writing, what Greta Gerwig's able to do with it. I don't know. Everything about it is just, I don't know. I fell in love with the Barnes sisters, basically.
Okay. For somebody who's seen, I think, all three versions of this, I've seen the Katharine Hepburn version, I've seen the Winona Ryder version, and I've seen this one. This one's amazing. I think the setting on this one works. I think Gerwig did a great cast. That's what works. The only one that I have a problem with is Odenkirk. I think he doesn't work for me.
I love women.
I just find he sort of stands out the way he acts. He's just bad casting in my world.
Well, he didn't really have a lot to do in this film. He was only in a few scenes.
I know, but he's so Bob Odenkirk for me. He's just, the way he acts doesn't quite seem like old-timey kind of acting like everybody else is doing. They're kind of in period. Odenkirk's just doing Better Call Saul, just toned out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he feels out of place in a way that he's literally his first line is, "My Little Women."
Yeah.
He didn't have a big role, so it didn't really distract me, but I see what you mean, what you're saying.
I got to say, what really kept me in this film is the relationship between Tracy Letts and Saoirse Ronan. I love those scenes with the book and discussing the book and how she changes the ending to amuse him.
I agree with you that I like the chemistry between them, but I think that's because I'm carrying that chemistry over from Lady Bird.
Yes, absolutely they are.
If they hadn't been in Lady Bird, I'm not sure I would have liked those scenes as much.
I could give you that.
But knowing that those two people had that connection made those scenes even better for me.
I agree.
Yeah, those scenes are great. And I can't wait to see more from Florence Pugh. Like, well, the way she could kind of convincingly plays, like, 13-year-old in personality was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of buying it.
I think she's excellent. I have seen Lady Macbeth, which I quite liked her in, too. I didn't like the film, but I liked her.
Yeah, she only has, like, 8 or 9 feature films.
And I've probably seen most of them.
Yeah, I've seen probably half by now. I still have to watch Finding with My Family, though.
Oh, my God, it's excellent, Dan. Get on that.
That was very good. That was my introduction to Florence Pugh, was Fighting with My Family. And she was fantastic in it.
I think was Lady Macbeth.
I think the first one I saw with her was her only bad one, the Netflix film Malevolent.
Oh, yes. That was horrendous.
Did I see that?
That's rough.
Did we review that?
I don't think so.
Then I don't know if I've seen it then.
I would like to personally thank Greta Gerwig for combining the universes of two of my favorite TV shows. Because we got Bob Odenkirk from the Breaking Bad universe, married to Laura Dern from the Twin Peaks universe. So just getting that combination of two TV universes, that just made me happy.
Yeah, yeah, and about Laura Dern, I think when I like, she's kind of a chameleon how she can play that lawyer in Marriage Story and then just play someone on the complete opposite end that is just such a compassionate character, and everything she says is just, aww. And I think she's one of the reasons I fell in love with this movie, as well as like the performances. And I just, when I like a movie or when I love a movie, like I'm close to tears at like any point, to be honest. And I don't know, that's why this one worked for me. And I smiling throughout.
You know, go ahead.
I was gonna say that scene where Laura Dern gives her scarf to the man who's freezing, and it was wonderful. Laura Dern was fantastic in this. Like I said, I do think I like this performance better than Marriage Story.
Wow, yeah. I can't give you that. I thought she was phenomenal in Marriage Story. Florence Pugh is in The Commuter, if anybody cares.
Oh, yeah.
And the only movie I haven't seen her big is, I haven't seen her King Lear appearance, and I haven't seen
Malevolent.
Malevolent I haven't seen, and Little Drummer Girl, which we probably should watch, because Park Chan-wook.
Did you see her first movie?
Yeah, but that was 2014 miniseries.
Oh, it's a miniseries?
Yes.
Oh, that'll so the only thing I'm missing is King Lear.
Have you seen The Following?
Nope. Oh, no, I haven't seen The Following either.
No, that's her first one.
Okay, well, put it on the list, and I'll watch it. Okay, anybody been to the church lately to check out some popes?
Thanks being at a church, dude. Starring Jonathan Pryce, Anthony Hopkins, and Juan Minujin.
I want to start this one. I thought this film was going to be a big, fat bore. I turned it on Netflix. I'm like, oh, I saw Spanish subtitles up top. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to be slogging, and I freaking love this film. Could not, and just loved the conversation. I could not believe watching two master actors at their craft, how good they are at this film. I loved everything about this film. I like the settings. I like the conversation. I like the pizza. I like how they watch soccer. I just enjoyed the conversation as it went. Gentlemen?
Sorry. Yeah. You know, I didn't love it, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the conversations, and it's definitely less boring than I thought it would be. I thought there was, like, boring stints. But the like you said, their conversations and the dialogue, it's really more entertaining than the premise suggests it would be. And, I don't know. I just like the friendship that they created. And, though I think it would be a masterpiece if the whole movie was just them watching that soccer match at the end.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that was my favorite part, and then it just ended. And I was like, aw, that's the only scene I fell in love with. And I was like, aw, okay, I need a feature film of that.
I mean, going into it, I thought it would just be, you know, conversations between two old men. I thought it was very dynamic when they did the voting and very cinematic when they showed how all the Cardinals voted and stuff. The conversations between the two men was very entertaining. But I honestly didn't love this film as much as Simon did. I was kind of bummed to see that both Hopkins and Price got Oscar nominations. I thought Anthony Hopkins was fantastic in the supporting role. Jonathan Price getting a lead actor nom was that I felt the major story of his character was told in flashback, and it wasn't even Jonathan Price who played that particular Pope in that story. So that kind of bummed me out. I kind of want to see Eddie Murphy get the Oscar nomination instead of Price. But it was a good movie. I just did not love it as much as Simon did.
Hold on. I want to back this up. I have to agree with you that Price did not need a nod. I see why they gave it to him, but I disagree with it. I think there are better options there. Eddie Murphy, I absolutely agree, should have that slot. Anthony Hopkins didn't even show up to the Oscars. He tells you he knew he wasn't going to win. Again, he shouldn't have been there either. Timmy Chalamet for Little Women. Here you go.
Yeah.
I mean, A Loving Two Popes, great film, should not have been even recognized.
And then it was nominated for one of the screenplays, right?
Yeah, again, I don't know who's got a hard-on for this film. It's a little ridiculous.
I think it's how well it just does the dialogue, and that a movie like this doesn't have any right to be entertaining.
Then why not give a nomination for Good Liar? It's basically the same thing with good dialogue.
I haven't watched it yet. Yeah, I know. I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Okay.
It's just more old white men to recognize, so, you know. Yeah. Got to recognize the old white guys.
I have to disagree with the Academy on that one, but they don't listen to me anyway. So what did Jack do to you?
Oh, God.
Entertained the hell out of me.
Starring, written, directed by David Lynch. Doug, you talked about it first. Why'd you make us watch this, friend?
Okay. He loves David Lynch.
I'll be honest with you. I made you watch it because I love David Lynch. I love the fact that he made this short film and it dropped on his birthday on Netflix. There was just something about this that just charmed the hell out of me. It's basically a hard-boiled detective interrogation scene between a man and – or a cop and a suspected murderer. It just so happens that the murder victim was a chicken. And the murderer in question is a monkey. It was amazing to me because of the hard-boiled, tough dialogue that sounds so cliched. We've heard these lines hundreds of times in hundreds of film noirs. But this time it's coming from David Lynch and a talking monkey. And I loved it.
I knew it. I knew he was trying to kill us, Dan. I knew it.
You know, I'm not a stupid man, but when I miss the significant, I know. Shut up. When I miss, like, when I'm confused by a piece of dialogue, it snowballs, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Who did this monkey kill? Who's Tatooine or what's that fancy? What's that fancy word they say? Tutatabon. That's actually a great word.
Tutatabon. That's the name of the chicken.
And yeah. It's. I thought that was the name of the. Oh, yeah, chicken. Okay. See, it was 17 minutes, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. I mean, and then the monkey sings, and it's like, okay, that's kind of funny. And then I don't. This is a shit show.
Doug, is not David Lynch your favorite director?
He is in my top five favorites.
Told you. And also, why is this on the list? It's just let's pull the curtain back. Since this being a new year, I've taken a step back from programming the show. I'll tell everybody right now, I will no longer be programming the show. We're having a rotating cast. Doug was up first, so Doug gets the program. For the most part. Next is Daniel, then Kevin, and then if there's a problem, obviously I will come in and help, but I really don't want to. So I don't care. So we get different films. But when I saw this on the list, I'm like, Doug's programming. So I got it. It was very cliche lines. David Lynch drives me nuts talking. It just annoys me. Then you amplify that by me looking at what I think is a monkey, but he's got person's lips and this. I'm like, I can't do this.
So creepy.
I tried. And I'm thinking to myself, Doug is loving every minute of torture to me. Because he knows I have to watch it all. There's nothing he can do to torture me more than make me watch David Lynch.
This is the longest 17 minutes of my entire life.
Oh, my God. But I don't think it was terrible. Like, I think, Daniel, you hate it. I didn't hate it. It's Lynchian. I know what I'm going into when I watch his films. It's going to be something different.
I'll be real with you, Chief. I don't think I've seen a David Lynch movie.
Oh. What's the one, Doug, when he's got the kid?
You gotta watch Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet's phenomenal.
David Lynch becomes Lynch.
Oh, yeah, you gotta see Blue Velvet's phenomenal. It's about Rossellini.
I've seen an episode of Twin Peaks. That's it.
No, you need to watch Blue Velvet. It's an excellent film.
Okay.
Blue Velvet's fantastic. Eraserhead is the first feature film.
Oh, my God. Eraserhead is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life.
Colin Jarre has been on my watches for a while.
So, Doug, I mean, the appeal of this, I mean, I don't get it. But it's so Lynchian. That's why I think it's just so bizarre. I liked it, though. I liked how we talk about the chicken and the monkey, and it was his girl. I'm like, he's just doing like a 1930s cop movie. I got it.
Yes.
This is the wrap-up to the thing. I like the line the monkey says, I wouldn't have been here if my train was on time. I thought that was funny.
It felt like this was like a random video online that was pre-recorded, and Lynch was just making up lines to like as a prompt for the monkey's lines.
But that's what he does.
It's so weird.
But that's what he does, Daniel. This is what he does. You don't get it.
And to be fair, this is not the weirdest thing Lynch has ever done.
No, I agree.
Like, if you want weird, there's Eraserhead.
Oh.
There's Lost Highway.
Which
Lost Highway.
I've never seen because I never saw all of Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Is it connected? I don't connect it to Lost Highway.
I've told it was, but I have never seen it, so I don't know.
Okay.
Lynch has said it takes place in the same universe as Twin Peaks, but there's really...
But you don't...
Nothing aside from Lynch saying that shows that...
Oh, so I could have seen it then. I've been avoiding it for that reason.
So you don't need to see Twin Peaks to understand Lost Highway?
No, not at all.
Oh, I always thought you did, so I never saw it.
No, you can absolutely watch Lost Highway completely on its own.
Well, I guess in the next Doug time, Doug's programming, boys and girls, we'll have Lost Highway pop up.
Lost Highway, I will warn you now, it is a movie of two halves.
Okay.
Now, both halves make sense, but when you smush them together, you're going to be left with a headache.
Which feature should I start with for David Lynch? Probably Mulholland Drive?
Yes.
Okay.
Mulholland Drive... I say Blue Velvet. Blue Velvet is my personal favorite.
I like both.
Is that his most tame? Is that why you're recommending?
No, it's a great film.
Oh, no. Blue Velvet is not tame.
Okay.
Fabulous film.
Yes.
Speaking of David Lynch Freaks, I guess we should talk about Freaks.
Wait, can I just mention, this isn't David Lynch related, but Doug, if you like, because I know you like this short, it's not like David Lynch, but I don't know if you watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but there's this great, shut up, Simon, there's this great episode with Sterling K. Brown where they're interrogating him the whole episode. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah. I've seen every episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
See, that is one of my favorite episodes. And I was going to say, okay, if you haven't watched the show, just watch that one episode. You did it. But yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes. Okay, what were you transitioning into, Simon? Freaks?
Correct.
Okay, Freaks, starring Emil Hirsch, Bruce Stern, Lexi Kolker, Grace Park, and Amanda Crew. Was it just me and you, Simon, who watched this, or did you watch it too, Doug?
I watched it last night with my family.
What?
Yes.
Interesting.
They liked it?
They hated the girl. They thought the little girl was annoying as hell.
She was great.
I loved her.
Yeah, I thought.
Well, now my kids are running around all day going, "Be my mommy. Be my mommy."
Okay, that's
I love it.
Okay, that's did they draw a face on their pillow?
I liked the movie. I thought it was good all the way through. But my kids did not. And my wife said she would have abandoned that little girl because she was annoying.
Okay.
That is so funny.
I know.
Okay, let's get in the Freaks, Dan. Go, it's your choice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so this is a Canadian-American movie. And probably the movie that I've been recommending to people for a Canadian film to watch that we could actually make decent movies. Because it's best experience not knowing anything about it. But we're going to spoil it anyway. The first time I watched it, I didn't think the world building was amazing because it was just, they kept it vague for the first 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But the second half just blew me away. And I rewatched it 2 hours ago, and it's better on a rewatch when you actually know what's happening for the first 40 minutes.
Oh, I could agree with that.
Because it's just a pervy, like, this Bruce Dern who could be pervy.
Well, that's it. I agree with you 100%.
It's creepy, but it works. And honestly, I think, okay, well, it's a sci-fi, like, low-budget superhero film. And I think it's my favorite, like, non-mainstream one since Chronicle.
Go ahead.
Are we going to go full spoiler here?
Yeah, of course.
Might as well.
When I first started, well, I didn't know what was going on, but then I realized, oh, this is X-Men. I didn't get that all the freaks, everybody had different powers. And then once that clicked for me, I was like, oh, it's X-Men. And that's what I watched it as for the second half on.
Yeah. When Emil Hirsch grabs Bruce Dern and they go to a completely different spot, that's the first time I watched it, that's when I was like, holy shit, this is great.
I want to get into this a little bit more. The first 20 minutes of this, how did it happen? I had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
I was like, I might have turned this off if I didn't have to watch it for the show. Because I was kind of like, I'm kind of into this kind of, I need to know where this is going. And then the girl escapes, and then, the little girl shows up with the ice cream cone. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
I don't understand this. And then the other girl wants ice cream, and her dad doesn't bring it. She takes off to go hang out with Bruce Dern. I'm like, okay, pervy Bruce Dern's coming up.
Mr. Snowcone.
And I'm like,
perfect.
And then he's driving around. I'm like, oh, so is this becoming a road trip film now? And the dad's going to chase them? Because the girl's trying to find her mom? I'm like, okay. And then he brings her back. And I'm like, okay, I am so confused. And then when they give me the little clip that's the girl's grandfather, it all started piecing together for me what was going on. And then they started showing us how powers worked and things. I'm like, oh, my God, can we start this 20 minutes earlier?
Yeah.
Like, I thought the world was just abandoned. And they were hiding out from some aliens or something. Like, Quiet Place is what I took at the beginning.
Yeah. And I think it has, like, sorry to interrupt. I think it has, like, 10 Cloverfield Lane vibes, too.
Yes. You know what? That should have been in the 10 Cloverfield Lane universe.
Yeah.
It would have worked. Yeah, I think this film is phenomenal by the end. You so get into it. And I think they used their budget so well. I did want a little bit more of the mountain. I liked a little bit more about that place. I understand it's a prison. But I think because the budget characters changed, they couldn't spend a lot of time there.
And
really didn't want us to show that. I love the scene when the woman next door is trying to get the people across the street arrested.
Yeah.
I thought that was phenomenal.
Yeah, there's just some brutal parts, too.
I think this film is, like, becoming one of my new films to recommend to people.
Yeah, it's been mine for the last, like, 3 months. I love it.
Like, I think this film, Doug, is absolutely watchable. I know your kids are looking for a mommy. I hope Tina's okay with that. But I think this film is great. Now, when they start drawing on their pillows, I'd be a little more nervous. I would love a sequel to this film, I gotta say. I like the ending. I would like to know what's happening next.
Yeah, and then that they're not gonna... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil it completely, but they're not gonna hide anymore.
Well, I know that, but I would like to see that film.
Curious? What? Yeah. Like, I don't need it, but my
oh, I need it.
Like, oh, I'd love it.
I really need it.
I'm curious. You know, I think the... I don't know how the movie would have been made for this, but what I'm looking at right now is the budget was $2,000. But that just seems impossible. Maybe the short film that was it, like if they had a short film that was a proof of concept, because wow. But if they made this for $2,000, that's even better.
I mean, $200,000 sounds somewhat more reasonable.
Yeah.
But, wow.
Maybe $2,000 to write the script that they had to live on? I don't know.
Maybe $2,000 for Emil Hirsch?
Yeah, no, even to just to email Emil. No, I love this movie. And even the little bits of comedy when she, like, the little girl takes over the big guy to try to get the mom out of the prison. I know we're going to have to put a big don't. If you haven't seen this, don't listen to this part of the podcast because it's best knowing little about it. But I just love talking about this. And I'd love to know what Kevin thought of it, too.
There was actually another movie from earlier in 2019 called Fast Color that is a another super low-budget dystopian future with superpowers movie. I think it's streaming on Amazon Prime now that I would personally recommend. That it's directed by a woman, and so it has that perspective on this type of story that I would personally recommend Fast Color if you enjoyed Freaks.
Okay. Yeah, by Julia Hart. That's who directed. Yeah, I love Freaks so much.
Okay, continue.
On to the next one?
Yes, Pain and Glory. Stop making me edit.
You're editing?
I always edit these, yes. Continue.
Okay. Pain and Glory. I'm going to butcher these names, so I'm just going to say it stars Antonio Banderas and Penelope Cruz. And then Aesir Extendia and Leonardo Sbaraglia. I don't think I pushed that too bad.
No, not at all. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I can start quickly. I did not like this film in any way. I found it long, boring, lots of reading, and not interesting. Not in any way. I'm just like, I am bored. I don't think Antonio Banderas deserved an Oscar for this nomination in any way.
Oh, I thought he did.
Really?
I thought he was very good.
I was falling asleep. Like, the story, I mean, Penelope and Cruz's storyline I thought was better.
Yeah, that aspect of the film where it's, like, reflecting on his youth, that was...
I enjoyed...
That was parts that worked.
Yeah, but he's not in them.
No. Did you watch this, Doug?
I have not seen Pain and Glory.
Okay, fair enough. So, you know, I have to agree that it's boring. It's an hour and 53 minutes, and I think I really, really liked maybe 45 minutes of it.
Yeah, I agree.
The other hour, I was looking at my phone, wondering how much time was left.
How do you look at your phone? It's got subtitles.
Oh, I'd glance, and then I'd glance back. I'm a quick reader. You know, I thought the performance by Banderas was great, and, like, the points of the film that worked for me was from that monologue scene to the reunion, and then the last 15 minutes. But otherwise, it was a good movie about reflection, but otherwise it's just really boring.
Okay, I have to agree with you. I mean, I thought I liked the look of the characters. I thought they looked like actors in a real world setting. I thought, that's what I did like. I liked Banderas is gay. I liked his lover. I liked the woman that tries to help him out. I got annoyed with Banderas' character so many times in the film. Like, stop taking drugs. Like, this is just getting dumb now.
But it's like medicinal, right?
Yeah, but he's just getting dumb. He doesn't want to show up in the movie. I'm like, where's this film going? Like, anytime he can redeem himself, he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I definitely got the sense of, like, I don't know where this is going.
And I didn't care by the end. I was just like, 2 hours of this crap? Really? I hate it.
I thought it was interesting, though, that it's, like, a semi-autobiographical film about the director. So it's the director directing him. Directing Antonio Banderas playing the director.
Yes, exactly. So, it did nothing for me.
Yeah. I remember we both hated Cold War from last year, one of the Oscar-nominated foreign films.
God,
from
I hate that film. Yes, I remember it.
I didn't hate this one, but...
It was better than Cold War, I'll give you that.
Yeah, it only had 40 minutes of great drama. Otherwise, it was like, oh, get me out of here.
Are we doing the last film?
Clown House?
Yes.
Okay, one sec. Let me, I took it off the list, so let me just pull up the cast list.
Nobody has the movie I want.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Brian McHugh, Sam Rockwell's first feature film debut, and Nathan Forrest Winters, and When we watched this film, we did not realize that this was the film that Victor Salva was arrested for molesting the 12-year-old star.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I finished, and I also, you accused me of watching this film because Sam Rockwell's original thing. No, I just watched it because I'm in a DVD group, VHS group, and I like the cover on the box.
Yeah.
And see, that's why I stumbled on this film.
Yeah, see, I only knew about it from a tweet that was like, oh, this is Sam Rockwell's first feature film. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll put that on my list. And then a day later, you were watching it. So I was like, oh, that must have been how you heard about it.
I know, and that wasn't it. I've had it for a while to watch. Doug, did you see this one?
I have not.
Okay.
It's
I think this is an interesting premise.
Okay.
But it is friggin' boring as hell.
Yep.
I'm like, do something! You have three killer clowns. Nothing happens. They take forever to get to the house.
Yep.
Forever. Like, it's an hour and a half movie. They must take over an hour to get there.
It's because they stopped for cotton candy, probably.
Who knows? How long did it take them to put on those? So, Doug, right at the beginning of the film, the kids go to the circus. Okay? And one kid is afraid of clowns.
Yeah.
So they leave. So the evil clowns go into where the clowns' makeup is and kill them and take their costumes.
Yeah, well, basically, these three mental patients at the local insane asylum,
yes.
Their ability, like, I can't think of the gosh dang word, their privilege for the circus is taken away. So they're like, you know what, we're going to escape and we're going to kill these clowns, but the original clowns are creepy enough, and they probably were going to do this anyway.
Yeah, and then they follow this kid to his house and attack the three kids in the house. That's the whole film. There's nothing else to it.
And, sir, nothing happens.
Nothing. Other than
it
a little bit
like
of
an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Pretty much. Terrible.
It was very bad, but there were some. I thought there were some creepy moments, but I already forget what they were. And though Sam Rockwell was still pretty decent at acting in this first movie, like, because you could see where he was building his character as an actor.
Oh, I agree. He's excellent. He's the best part of the film, Sam Rockwell.
No one else can act in this movie. It's only Sam Rockwell.
I agree. So I apologize to you guys. For some reason my Scenic cards are not in the box since we have time to play some Scenic, but I do have movie trivia on my phone today for us.
Okay.
Because usually we play Scenic trivia when somebody's not here, but that's what I was looking for. You guys wonder where I wandered away from, but my cards aren't in my box. So I don't know what I did with them. Probably last time I didn't put them back. So we'll go off my phone. What flavor Pop-Tarts does Buddy the Elf use in his spaghetti and Elf?
Strawberry?
Doug?
I've never seen Elf.
We're going to play the five. So Doug, Dan, both get zero. A chocolate.
Oh, right.
What vocal pop group performs at the end of Wet Bridesmaids?
It's been a minute since I've seen that one.
Was it Backstreet Boys?
Nope, Wilson Phillips. You're both wrong.
Who was it?
Wilson Phillips. Who played juror number 8 in 12 Angry Men?
Fonda.
Correct. Okay, hold on.
Henry Fonda, not okay. Peter or James.
I don't think Dan's ever heard of this movie, but Doug may have. What critically panned 1984 country music comedy starring Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone eventually became a cult classic?
Oh, Rhinestone?
Correct.
I was going to say 9 to 5
and
I heard Dolly Parton.
I'm trying to find songs. Okay. What is the name of the chorus song played by Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge?
I ain't seen that one.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
No, c'est teen. In what 1950 drama does Bette Davis say, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy ride?
Sunset Boulevard?
Wrong movie.
Take a shot.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane?
All About Eve. Okay, I'm going to make this guy even easier for you guys now because we got to finish this up. We guys still got 10 minutes if we want to. Marlon Brando, this is the name of the film, the quote, could have been a contender. What is the name of the film?
On the Waterfront.
Correct. My favorite Brando movie ever. Okay. Oh, here's one for Dan. We'll give
him
these.
Better than The Godfather?
He's in it, but I give them both 10s. On the Waterfront, I gave a 10 to, too. It's probably my favorite is On the Waterfront. One of my favorite, I don't know, all three of them have died. Who played Martin Luther King Jr. in the 2014 biopic Selma?
David Oloyo.
There you go. I made it easy for him, Doug. He had to get that one, right? I'm trying to find some more for you. Hold on. Nope.
I'm very rusty on my movie trivia.
Come on, Dan. I would have brought Cena for you, but I don't have it here.
I'll kill at Cena Jr. Not
regular. I don't have Cena Jr. I've been looking for one to buy. Actually, I've been looking for new Cena because I've seemed to have lost my cards, but they're here somewhere, I'm sure.
I might still have my Cena Jr. to be honest.
Oh my God. The stage play Everybody Comes for Rick was adapted for the screen to become what 1942 Best Picture winner?
Casablanca.
Correct. Come on, I'm trying to find one for Dad. What animated classic was the first feature film of the late 20th century, Disney's Renaissance?
Snow White and the... Wait, what? What was the question again?
What animated classic was the first film of the late 20th century's Disney's Renaissance?
What's 20th century again? 2000?
Yeah.
Or 1900?
1900.
So Snow White and Seven Dwarfs?
Nope. Doug?
What's the Little Mermaid?
For the win, Doug gets 5. 5-1.
Okay. Well, see, you confused me because I was confused on that one.
Okay. Anybody got anything else to add before we sign off a nice and quick show without Kevin? So we know who talks too much.
I was going to talk about Clown House a lot more, but I already forget what everything I was going
to
say.
There's nothing to talk about.
I could discuss David Lynch from now until the cows
come. We can go back how the mom just disappears in Clown House. She's there for like 5 minutes and gone for the rest of the film.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. If you want to appreciate good audio to lip syncing, watch Clown House because it's the worst piece of shit I've ever seen in terms of the looping, like them talking and the dialogue matching it. It is rough.
It is very rough. I guess we're out of here, right, guys? Nothing else? If they make it,
we'll watch it.
We watch
Toodles.
It.